The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. My name's Tony Lightfoot, thanking you for your support once again. And we are returning to the strand that we started off a little bit earlier on in the season and continuing all the way through to the end on tour with Freddie Winter. And the aforementioned Freddie Winter is right here as we review what happened in Tuscaloosa this past weekend. How are you doing, sir?
Excellently, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Okie dokie. All right. Malibu Open, Tuscaloosa, Lyman Land, USA. Second consecutive year that we've been on that site for that tournament. I think it's safe to say that that the tournament went better this year than it did last year. Wouldn't you agree?
I was close to first last year, so maybe not for me. Last year I had a runoff for the win. This year I was half a buoy off the top score. So if I was going to judge it purely that way from a self-important and selfish perspective, then no, it was worse for me in some ways. But I mean, still second, it's okay.
Okay, but you've been on the podium pretty much every water ski pro tour stop so far, haven't you?
Yeah, no, that's been good. I was, and like I said to Wade when he interviewed me when I got off the water, I was worried that was going to come to an end. It would be nice. I mean, it's a record that doesn't mean anything particularly, except for just some sort of self satisfaction. But yeah, I've been on the podium every time this year, every tour event that I've entered. I didn't enter Canada, but apart from that, it's been all of them, and then plus the win at Botas, and then the second at Moomba. So all of the events I've entered, I've been on the podium, which is really nice. It's the best year I've had in that respect.
Okay, you certainly got off to a better start this time around compared to the Mastercraft Pro the week before. I mean, you didn't have to battle from like last place or like first off the dock in the second round to make up for lost time. But I mean, kind of give us your what it was like from your perspective. You know, like skiing right off the dock. You know, for the first round and continuing all the way through to the final.
Well, like I mentioned or touched upon at least last week, you know, the Malibu is not a boat that we have much access to in Central Florida. That, you know, we don't tend to be able to get behind it unless your name's one of the skiers that are sponsored by them. So, you know, we always kind of go there and adjust a little bit. And actually, the boat felt good. A little bit of an adjustment through the practice set that we had before. We were allowed four passes the day before, and then actually, you know, on the day it felt really good, and I was kind of frustrated after the first round because I had a good start at 41 at 10.25, and yeah, I just sort of lost my balance a little bit into buoy three and blew the tail, which I haven't been doing so much. Mm-hmm. But that kind of annoyed me because it was like, well, I was in good shape to kind of get quite far down it, and in the end I was off the pace by a buoy and a half from the top score. But you know, importantly, I was down in fifth, where if I'd have stopped at three and not tried to turn it, I would have been tied for third. So that was annoying, but that's just the way the sport works. So yeah, and the next round, I had a very odd buoy one. I don't really know what happened. I think I looked at the replay 100 times and sort of rolled back onto a flat ski, and I think that the tail just kind of got caught and did something weird that I wasn't used to, sort of almost fishtailed.
We almost thought it was something mechanical.
To be honest with you, that's exactly what I thought. But I think what happened was I finished the turn and I actually was sort of moving to the weight, but I rolled the ski onto a flat ski. So when that happens, you've obviously got more traction with the tail of the ski than with the front. Mm-hmm. And I kind of the tail of the ski almost moved away from the boat, which meant that the nose of the ski moved towards it, and I just was completely off balance and lost. So I just wasn't able to move across course and was you know, only got two. But yeah, I mean, for me in the final, I checked all my equipment. It was all fine. I did all the sort of weird stuff that you do. I reset my fin to exactly the numbers that I know I like and I have been on. I washed the bottom of my ski just to make sure there was nothing sort of weird on it. You know, mm-hmm. grease, sun cream, all this sort of crap that can sort of make a difference.
Or mud, or
potentially could make a difference. I don't know. I mean, just neurotic stuff that idiots do when they're nervous about their ski. And that's, you know, you run through it. And I was told a story. Apparently Nick Parsons saw Andy Mahl make a fin change between rounds a number of years ago and said to him, that's a sign of weakness. And it is. I mean, like, I'm sure the guys who are around me saw me checking my fin, all that sort of stuff. And it is a sign. It's a sign of weakness. But you know, I don't really care particularly how it looks. I mean, it just made me feel better about my ski, and I could go out knowing, okay, that was just a weird situation. It's not a ski, and it's all good. So, yeah. And then in the final, I went out. I saw Cole go out and get a good score. A couple of skis before me, Thomas DeGaspi running, you know, going what ended up being the winning score right before me, and. Kind of was like, man, you know, we're three or four skiers into this final. We've got, you know, all the skiers that have done better in this tournament already going out later. And I got to go and run a big score. And I had a bad one at 10.25, good two, and then just grabbed early at three, made a mistake and got around four and tried to take the hit, couldn't do it. But
yeah, I knew you're just getting set behind the boat. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Yeah.
And then you sank in too much and then it was over from there.
Yeah. And I couldn't do it. But, and then, yeah, weirdly, like things just kind of, you know, you don't often see Nate kind of get with a decent one. He didn't, you know, he didn't get to four. That was not one. And then Will was sort of moving through and couldn't do it. And Dane fell at three. Who else was there? Rob ran one and a half. So yeah, I ended up on the podium. I ended up in second, which was welcome, but also a bit surprising.
Yeah, the same. I mean, good, but at the same time, kind of frustrating. Hey?
Well, in some ways, yeah, a bit annoying because I mean, I've had 7 seconds already this year, all of them to Nate. With the three wins that I've had, and you know, if I'm being completely straight with you, it was a bit like, man, you know, if only I'd taken my opportunity on the one time that Nate was going to mess up, because he hasn't messed up against me too much. There's been, you know, at the Monaco tournament he did, he needed to go and beat me and he didn't manage it. But yeah, but I mean, there you go. Look, it's all right. It's a good streak. You know, like I always say, we train extremely hard and do all things that we do, you know, not to come second, but at the end of the day, second is a fine consolation. I got paid. I got some points. Not that actually it contributed to my... the only way that I could have improved my score for the Waterski Pro Tour was to win.
Win.
It would have given me a chance of winning the... And as, of course, if I'd have run the 4.5 or whatever that I needed, I'd have had the extra 2 points.
Yeah.
And that would have actually given me a decent shot. To, if I won next week, I could have won the tour. So unfortunately, that is out of my reach now. Third time in a year, I've come second on the tour, which is frustrating. But at the same time, I can look at it like this. Like, the World Championships are coming up.
Yeah.
And... you know, they're important for sure, but I mean, and you know, I'm talking from position of being a solid second on the Waterski Pro Tour, so you know, there's probably a little bit of bias in this. I'm not naive to that, but you know, what I can say proudly for myself is that I've proven myself over the course of the year to be the second best skier.
Yeah,
because it's an average of all the events.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at the World Championships, I mean, I could, you know, anything can happen. I could go and win the thing. I could come dead last. But it's a roll of the dice, and you know, do I think that really the best skier in the world? Is defined by who wins the World Championships? Less and less so. I mean, you know, it's in my opinion, it's based on who's the most consistent. And this year, I've been up there with as being the most consistent. So, I'm going to go and give it my all at the Worlds. And I, you know, I haven't been the best skier in the world this year. So you could argue that I don't deserve to win the Worlds. My aim is to win it.
Yeah.
You know, it would certainly be nice. But no, I'm happy with my season so far. That's not me resting on my laurels, but I you know, it's another being on the podium again is another sort of confirmation that I feel like I've had a solid season. I've always been there or thereabouts.
All right then. So yeah, I mean, one of the very few times in the season where you ended up getting above Nate Smith and on the podium, you end up being second on the Pro Tour, you know. So something to hang your hat on as you get ready for the Worlds. But let's take a step aside from you and from men's slalom and focus in on some of the events that you know, that for one reason or another really garnered the most attention, at least so far. Far as the Instagram post and Facebook post and what have you that came out of this event, because I mean, in all fairness to Malibu, I mean, this was a bumper tournament for them. I mean, considering the records that they created,
I mean, an incredible tournament. You know, arguably the best pro tournament ever in some ways. I mean, I will say this: the men's slalom scores were not the best of the year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they were the winning scores. That it's the lowest scoring tournament of the year in terms of best score.
Yeah.
for the men's slalom. So you know, tell me why that is. That's an interesting one. But the women did.
Maybe the season's just grinding, you know, to a certain point. You know,
it's not that.
It's not that.
No. I mean, I don't believe that for a second. I don't know why that is. I mean, look, and this is not me trying to be negative. I'm just saying it's an interesting point to make, isn't it? Is it like, you know, all the tournaments we've had this year have been decided to, you know, 4, 5, and 6 at 41. There have been scores at 5 and 6, and then for the men's slalom, I'm going to get to the positives in a second. This is not to be meant as a negative, but I mean it was peculiar. It intrigued me that the men didn't ski so well. On the other side, the women skied incredibly. Regina ran the best ever score by a woman. Jamie ran 5:25 world record. Jamie Bull had her best tournament of skiing of the year. Ran 10.75 three out of three rounds, mm-hmm. and looked so good doing it too. I mean, like the one in the final was just spectacular.
And seems to have adapted to the ski that she had to jump on because the skis that she brought back from Europe got broke for some reason.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been on three different skis since the start of the Europe thing. I mean, you know, I think that the manufacturers are making skis that are consistent, and I don't think that's such a hard thing to adapt to. I'm not taking credit away from her, but I mean, you know, if the ski manufacturer is doing a good job, you don't need to worry too much about changing skis. And so I think that HO has done a good job, and therefore she's on a good ski, and she looks great. Alice Bagnoli ran 11 once, 6 another time. Karen Truelove got 3 at 10.75. I mean, like the scores in the women were really really good. I mean, yeah. Sadly a small field. But really, really good. The women's jump, the third woman over 192, Hannah Strautsova after over 190. Sorry, there was huge scores in the men's jump. So yeah, if you looked at the sort of three of the four quadrants, exceptional scores. Weirdly, the men, some don't understand why. But yeah. I mean, and I skied it myself. It didn't feel bad, and then we just didn't really get the scores at 10.25. Don't know why. And then, of course, Joel Poland ran an overall world record. They had the tricks in it. It was not an open event. The tricks, it wasn't sort of open invite, which I think hopefully it will be next year. So it wasn't, you know, part of the tour or whatever. But you know, or you know, a full pro event in some ways, because you know you didn't have it invites extended to the it wasn't open for everyone to compete in, which I think is, you know, sort of a prerequisite for a professional win.
Uh huh.
That's also why I don't count the America's Cup rubbish, because it's only for Americans, which, yeah, you know, hey, look, the sport's great in America, but it's not everything. But yeah, so it just, you know, wonderful skiing. Joel Poland overall world record. I mean, having two world records in a pro tournament is incredible. Having one is amazing. It's unusual. I mean, let's, you know, dialing down on Regina, I don't think she's ever. I mean, I know she's never set a world record in a pro tournament. She's tied it probably, but I don't think she's ever set one. I'd say 99% sure. Karina Nolan in 2008 at the California Pro-Am, which was called Diablo Shores at the time, she ran one at 10.25. It was the second time a woman had run one at 10.25, and she tied the world record there, which was just incredible. I actually watched it on my computer, you know, early webcast days. I remember just being amazed. Now we see, you know, Jamie, Whitney, Regina and Ali, you know, run it every weekend. But you know, that was a little while ago. It was a huge tournament, huge scores. And I heard Regina say at the end, she's like, well, you know, what a great result. We had two world records, and then we had Thomas DeGasperi, a Malibu sponsored skier, win the tournament. So yeah, hopefully the Malibu Open will happen again.
Yeah. And I mean, continuing on with Joel Poland, I mean, what was it? It was like two at 41, 11.720, and 69.2 for 26.70.80 for the men's world overall record. I mean, it's incredible stuff. And I mean, you said it yourself when you interviewed him. You know, one of the very few skiers that can actually do it behind any boat.
Well, he's not attached to a boat company, which just blows my mind every day. The guy is a superstar, the superstar of our sport in many ways. I mean, he's young, he can talk to anyone, he's a good-looking lad, he's incredibly good at skiing in all three. I mean, he's a sponsor's dream, and it just shows where the sport is at the moment, where the boat companies don't want to get behind him. You know, it's insane. I can't believe it. Joel is a dream for you know, go back 15 years, he'd have been, you know, the number one guy with the boat contract, and he'd be, you know, making a lot of money out of those world records. But at the same time, I'm really in some ways happy that he's unattached, because he's going to tournaments and not pulling up. One of my least favorite things to see is someone, get to a score and then go, oh, I don't want to do it.
I've seen that sermon on so many occasions.
It's sad, isn't it, to see that? You know, you want to see everyone, you know, compete to their best level every single day. And who knows? I mean, I think, you know, Usain Bolt's a good example in a, you know, 2009 or 10 or something like that. I saw him pull up in the 200 meters. He was on world record pace, and then he pulled up because there was no world record bonus that week. And he never did it again. He never beat that time. He never beat the time that he would have got. He never broke the world record again. And he thought he could do it the next weekend, but he never did. So, you know, it's almost you owe a debt when you pull up to water skiing as a whole for not going for the score that could have been the defining one. Now, luckily, Regina was behind her boat this weekend. I'm not, to be honest with you, I think she's been trying to turn Boy 2 at 10.25 every single time she's got to it in the last few weeks behind the Nautiques and the Mastercrafts. But just hasn't, you know, she's wanted to go and prove to herself that she can go and get those big scores. But she did it behind the boat that she trains behind a lot. And she said herself, you know, I talked to her and she said it's different to all the other world records she's had, because she did it in front of the eyes of the world at a pro tournament with lots of people watching. And I think, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but probably to her it seemed more legit. You know, you go and get a world record at some backyard tournament with, like, you know, you've got the camera running, but at the end of the day you're going out for a practice ride that's just labeled a tournament. There's no particular pressure on you. You've got ambition, but there's no pressure on you. She did it with pressure, with people watching her. And it was magical. And I think that, you know, Malibu Boats, who have supported her from very, very many years, and she's got 10 slalom, this will be her 10th slalom world record, they'll probably say that was the most valuable to them in terms of, you know, it was done at their tournament. It was called the Malibu Open, and there was TWBC there, which is the, you know, we're on the TWBC podcast. This is the only real show in town when it comes to webcasting with the eyes of the world watching. It's special. And I think that it, in a lot of ways, I've said it before, but we have access in pro events to the best lakes and the best drivers. We don't always get the best lakes, but we have most often the best drivers. We're able to get behind them every year. And these are the places where world records should be set. And doing it, getting big scores in, if it's a world record or your personal best, doing it, if you're a pro skier, doing it on some lake, you know, in the middle of nowhere where, you know, who's to say if the line was properly measured, who's to say if the boat was going straight, you know, like all of these things, like that's, I think that's a bit more of a thing of the past. No one cares about that sort of, I call it the amateur ranking list, you know, which we're seeded off for worlds. I mean, it's the one that seeds all the amateurs in the world based on their two best scores. But no one, I mean, I'll tell you what, like no one cares about that in the pro scene right now. No one cares. Everyone's just going, all right, well, I got my score here. I got my score here. And it, you know, it should be at pro events. And myself and Will Asher and Jamie Bull and Regina and all these people, we're not doing record rounds outside of pro tournaments because we have the best opportunity to go and get our best scores in pro tournaments because we have the best drivers, we often have the best boats, and we often have the best conditions. You know, this and we want to do it when it counts. And you know, we always go back to that Dane Meckler example. You know, his score in inverted commas didn't count at the World Championship when he ran 10.25. But as I told him on the day, I said that was the most legit 10.25 of the year in some ways because everyone was watching. So if, you know, someone doing it in their backyard in you know the middle of Nebraska where no one's watching, okay, it goes into the school books. But I don't care about it in the slightest. What I do care about is Dane Meckler doing it in front of me. It was incredible.
Well, I mean, it was certainly a great tournament. I mean, with the skier of the day, obviously, was Regina Jaquess. I mean,
wasn't that obvious? Joel could have had it. I mean, Joel probably, he's already had one this year, and he's done it a handful more times. And maybe people don't follow overall in quite the same way. And I think also we probably believe that Joel's got a bit more headroom. Joel probably will break that again. I'm not saying Regina can't break it, but I mean, like 5.41 was pretty amazing. I mean, pretty incredible. And frankly, you know, when she ran 4.5. You know, there was some controversy over that. So to see her do it like legit in front of us, it was great to ski. Great to see.
Yeah, and I mean, like Freddy Krueger as well. I mean, before we get deep into the weeds with Freddy Krueger, what about Colm McCormick? I mean, in the men's slalom, I mean, he's been out largely for the majority of the water ski pro tour. Came back last week at the Mastercraft, but
he was in California, and he didn't make the final in California, and he was in Calgary as well. So he's I think number four tournament back. I mean, hey, not taking anything away from him, just saying he's been around, but he's improved. Mastercraft, he ran 4:41 in the final and was unlucky to come fourth, and then he got around four again, and actually it was a better four this time because he was trying to turn it.
And only slightly behind you on the podium, he was in third place.
Yeah, and I mean, again, the scoring of a sport I complained about in the first round, but I mean, I was maxed out trying to get the four and getting 3.5, and he was trying to turn it. So I mean, you know, he in a truly fair world, he'd have gone ahead of me on the podium, to be fair.
All right, Hannah Strzaltsova, third person only to go over 190 feet in women's jump. With a 192, I think it's 58.6 meters. You know, I mean, she's been on fire all season.
I think I said it the other week. Like, she's been getting those scores in the high 180s, and these are scores that, you know, the great Jacinta Carroll, who is arguably the best water skier of all time in terms of dominance, in terms of breaking world records, in terms of, like, you know, unbeaten streaks. You know, who's to say that Jacinta would have got 193 feet and beaten her? I don't know. And Jacinta might listen to this and say, oh, you know, give over. I would have gone and gone further. But I don't think Jacinta's had someone to challenge her, even slightly, for all these years. I mean, even when she was over here a couple of years ago, Hannah was not at the level that she is now. And, you know, someone might say it's unfair for Jacinta to be in every conversation about Hannah's jumping, but it kind of is true, because I think it is fair, because she's, you know, she is the yardstick by which everyone is measured. When you've got someone that hasn't been beaten, you know, she won 5 or 6 world championships in a row, she's, you know, pulled the world record from 190 whatever feet to 200 whatever it is, 202 feet, whatever it is. You know, I think I don't know. Hannah, I'm sure, does want Jacinta to come back, and I hope Hannah goes to Moomba next year. And I mean, what about that? Wouldn't it be incredible if Hannah took on Jacinta in her own backyard?
The best of the best, yeah, right there under the lights.
We haven't seen, I mean, under the lights or in the day, just on the river, I don't care. Yeah. I mean, like, there's always a huge crowd, and it's a difficult place to jump. But, you know, Hannah is an incredible athlete, but she's reaching, I'm not saying she's reaching her peak necessarily, but she's improved, and I want to see top level Hannah go up against top level Jacinta. And I think it's a shame that we're not seeing the two battle out every week. And who's to say that Jacinta would win? Jacinta might win everything, like she has done for the last however many years. It might be the boost that she needs to come back in. I don't know. But I really hope that we see Hannah at her peak go up against Jacinta at her peak, and we can, you know, really see who's the best.
Freddy Krueger, last three tournaments that he's jumped over 70 meters, about 230 feet. You know, 48 years of age. I mean, what is there to say?
Well, so in his last 6 rounds of jumping, he did 237 in the first round at California, and then he did 235 or 233 or whatever, and got beaten by a foot in the second round at California in the final, beaten by Ryan. Then he did 232 and then 230 at Mastercraft prelims and final, won both of those rounds. And then he did 231, was it, in the first round here, and then he won with a 230, whatever 230, I think 230 it was.
230 around about.
Yeah, so I mean, he's won 5 of his last 6 rounds of jump. And he beat Ryan Dodd in the first round at California. Ryan obviously hasn't turned up to all those rounds, but he beat Ryan Dodd in the first round. So they're 1-for-1, one each, in the two that they skied each other. Freddie has the better score, the 237. It's probably the best score of the year. You know, again, I want to see the best skiers compete against each other the whole time. We don't. You know, Freddie is just unbelievable. But looking at Worlds, where Ryan undoubtedly will be, and that's probably been his focus for the whole year, been interesting for Ryan. I mean, he's turned up. He went to Moomba, went all the way to the other side of the world to Moomba, didn't go to Kingdom Darkness, which was, you know, an hour and a half from his house. Didn't go to Night Jam, which is in the same country as where he lives.
Yeah.
Went to California on the other side of the country, further away than Louisiana. Didn't go to Mastercraft, which is in the same state as where he lives. Didn't go to Malibu, which is, yeah, pretty far away. But he's obviously, you know, doing, he wants to ski behind that Nautique, and he wants to go and get something big at Worlds. I saw his hashtag the other day, hashtag world record. So I think he's going really, really big. He wants to go and get his 255 feet at the Worlds. My God, if we'd see that, that would be something, wouldn't it? But I mean, I think, you know, Freddie obviously has form and he has confidence. He said himself that he's doing good jumps, not great jumps. That 237 would be close to a great jump. But he's got some time before the Worlds. He's, you know, he's not competing this weekend like all the slalom skiers. And he will build in. And I, you know,
And he said to me when in a little bit of an interview afterwards that, you know, some of the performance deficiencies that he had a little bit earlier on were due to the fact that he was spending too much time chasing and rather than thinking and concentrating and focusing on the core techniques that has meant a lot to his success.
Which is so funny because, I mean, you know, there's no one more experienced in the field and he is, it shows, like, we all do it, but if he's susceptible, you know, when he's been winning events since 1995, then we're all susceptible. And I mean, you do get that. The thing he says is it's a really succinct and beautiful way of saying it. He says you got to focus on the inputs, not the outputs. And the inputs are what get you the outputs. Mm-hmm. If you focus on the outputs, Taylor Garcia said that he was just trying to go big, and it's not like that. You've got to, you know, get your nice turn. I mean, I don't know how it's a jump. Get your nice turn in, set your skis, build into the ramp, you know, whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, he's a man that knows how to do it, and I'm excited for the next tournament. I think, you know, everyone's going to, you know, Joel went and got his biggest jump of a little while. Joel came second at Masters this year. And apart from that, I don't think he's even really been on the podium during the sort of 6 or 7 jump tournaments they've been this year. So he's had almost he's for such a great jumper that Joel is and has proven himself to be. He's got 2 world championship medals, bronze in 2019 and a second last time out. He's won a pro tournament. He's the only person, I think, maybe, I don't know, since Jarrett Llewellyn or whoever to beat Ryan and Freddie when they were both going for it. Ryan had that crash at Malibu Open a few years ago. So Freddie didn't jump so well. But anyway, So Joel's had a disappointing season, but he finally got his big jump in a pro tournament. In a final of a pro tournament, having not done, he did a great jump, 235 in the qualifying at California, but didn't do it in the final. So there's going to be a great showdown at the World Championships, and that includes Jack Critchley, who's finding his feet too, and I think Taylor's going to be resurgent. And my God, Luca Rakenwald, I mean, where the hell did he come from?
62-68-2.
Yeah, and he's had an eight feet, he's improved his PB by 8 feet in the last month or so. And this is a guy that's going to the world with a ton of confidence. He got on the podium at this event, and he'll be really, really excited.
Yeah, and he got the Skier of the Day award last week over at Mastercraft as well to underscore.
And then went and improved again.
Yeah,
and got on the podium, which he hadn't that weekend. I mean, yeah, and because of the brilliance of Regina and Joel, he wasn't going to have a chance of getting it again. But I mean, you know, at the same time, he was third place in terms of his performance.
All right, then. So we'll wrap it up around about here. Next tournament coming up, the last water ski pro tour tournament of the season. It's been a long old tour, 15 events, and it's all culminating for the slalom event with the men's and women's here at the Travers Grand Prix.
Yeah, really exciting. It's a great event. We saw huge scores last year, and I think we'll probably see him again. Will Ash's home site, and he beat me in a runoff last year. So, I mean, he'll be all over it. Myself, I like skiing there, and we didn't have Nate last year, and he'll be back after a disappointing weekend. And then there's of course Dane, Cole, Thomas. Mm-hmm. There's all the, you know, John Travers again, home site. All these guys will be all about it. I'm excited. You know, it's a warm up for the Worlds. It's a great event in its own right. It's a funny format. It's going to be 3 consecutive days of one round, which we just don't do. I mean, that is so unusual for us. So in some ways it's weird, but in some ways it's also good because if we're going to turn up every day, probably going to ski about the same time. It's always right after the amateur skiing, and we'll sort of be able to unless
of course the weather intervenes.
Yeah, but I think are we getting to the end of that hurricane season? Probably not. We're still in the middle of it, but I think it'll be good, and we'll be able to reset ourselves after every day. And it's going to be in some ways like, you know, you go and do these 2 rounds of qualifying a day, which I actually really like. And you have your day set out. If you don't do well in the first round, you kind of, you know, take into the second round. If you do well in the first round, you kind of like, you know, you kind of take the second round as a bit more of a, you know, set yourself up for the final. But this is going to be like, you know, go out and win each round, I think, is going to be the aim.
All right.
Do your best to.
Yes, indeed. And obviously, have you practiced your shooting and your go-karting skills?
No, I tend to do quite well in the shooting. The first year I got 10 out of 10, which was quite funny. I think I had the best score of anyone, maybe with a couple of, North Florida country boys. I've sort of fluctuated, but I've always gone pretty good in that. I'm absolutely terrible at go-karting, as anyone will tell you, but that's not a, it's not something that I have any degree of ego wrapped up in. I mean, I'm a water skier. I'm not a car driver, and I really don't care. I'm the guy that spins. I'm really good at Mario Kart. I'd probably beat most everyone at Mario Kart, but in a car with a wheel going fast, I'm absolutely useless. But we'll see. Who cares? I don't want to go. I've tended to do quite well at that event. I mean, the times where everyone laughed at me for being so bad on the go-kart, I then went and won the tournament the next day a few years ago, and I was like, well, I'd rather have it that way around.
Yeah, indeed.
You can have your stupid carts.
Well, we'll look forward to that, and that competition commences towards the end of this week. This has been Tony Lightfoot on the TWBC podcast with the On Tour on tour with Freddie Winter series. The next TWBC podcast episode will be coming up very, very soon. But until that time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.